This is Hacker Public Radio, and my name is Dave. And in today's episode, I am going to be talking about something near and dear to my heart, and that is my desktop. My computer desktop, specifically my everyday computer, my laptop, the one that gets 95 to 99% of my away from work computer usage. And I want to talk about the applications, the desktop applications that I use every day, the ones I cannot live without, the ones that are there when I need them, there when I'm not even thinking about them, the ones I use all the time, I guess I should say. And these will be in no certain order, and they will also be very short on the how-to part of it, you know, how to make these things work. There'll be more what they do. Some of these you've probably heard of, maybe, hopefully. Lots of them you haven't, or some of them you haven't. They're all relatively common. I'll talk about the most common one first and most briefly, and that is Mozilla Firefox. Almost everybody uses this browser now. Everybody that knows anything about browsers will use Firefox. And I guess specific, I'm a heavy Firefox browser user. I've had up to, well, over 150 tabs open at one time. There are better ways to surf the web than that, I'm sure. But so I make heavy use of the Tab Mix Plus extension, and also heavy use of the Google Notebook extension. Those are the two I seem to use the most. But that's all I will say about web browsers. Well, except this, as far as email goes, I'm relying more and more on Gmail for domains. It's like letting Google host your email server, not for the paranoid, I'm sure, but either way, I find myself using Mozilla Thunderbird less and less every day. Let's see, other app, well, I guess my desktop is what I should talk about next. I use Fluxbox. I use Fluxbox because Fluxbox is everything I need in a window manager. It's not a desktop environment. Fluxbox doesn't come with any applications that do anything but desktop manager kind of stuff, window manager kind of stuff, I should say, excuse me. It comes with an icon bar, it comes with a root menu, and it comes with a desktop slit, which is an invisible portion of the desktop where you can put dock apps, or you can dock GKRELLM, which is a system monitor tool that I'll talk about briefly. So that's my desktop. I use Fluxbox, and I've used just about every window manager or desktop environment there is over the last 13 or 14 years for Linux. I won't get into that history, but Fluxbox is where I've landed and have stayed probably the longest. It, like I said, it does exactly what I need. It manages my windows. It has an icon bar, or it's got a clock. That's about all I need. The best part to me about Fluxbox, the as good as it just being lightweight, right up there with that is the root menu. It's a simple text file. And it's a zero learning curve. You know, if you can read, you can edit this thing and make your root menu be exactly what you want it to be. It's heavily themable. There are lots and lots of themes for Fluxbox. And keyboard shortcuts are also very easily done, with this a text configuration file. Blossom, BLOSXOM, is the blogging software I use. I've not talked about Blossom in a long time on any kind of recorded, or even really think about it much, because I use it every day, and I set it up a long time ago, and I just don't think about it anymore. Blossom is a Perl script that is also blogging software, and Blossom will allow you to do almost everything you can do with a traditional blog application, and a little bit more. It doesn't limit you really, but it's a simple blog, and you can you blog using your favorite text editor. You can blog over SSH connection. I use VIM and SSH to blog remotely. And it's really customizable and really lean, and it's just a text editor's lover's blog application, I guess you would say. If you don't want to use a web application to blog, if you don't want to be able to blog anywhere you are, just fire up VIM and blog away. I really, really like Blossom. It's easy to set up. There are lots of modules you can add. It's a simple application that does one thing and does it really well. So if you're looking for some blog software that's pretty lightweight, very lightweight and beautiful in its application, check out Blossom. I mentioned SSH. SSH is the secure shell, and most of you know what it is, but this is one of those applications that I cannot live without. If I go on vacation, or if I'm at work, or if I'm away from my laptop or the other computers at home, I begin to miss them. I have been known to carry photos of my computers with me. I've been known to hang them in my cubicle. I'm not really that attached to them as much as it is, just I like to look at them some. But I don't know what I would do without SSH. Being able to log into my computers remotely is brings me great joy. So SSH is really cool too. I mean, I host my web server off a home DSL connection, computer in my 5-year-old daughter's bedroom. Used to be my computer room, it's her bedroom now, and that's where I left the server. The rest of the computers have moved upstairs. But when it goes down, which DSL is like to do sometimes or want to do, I can oftentimes, if the DSL's down, I can't. But if there's something I need to do, if there's something I need to get, there's something I need to tweak, SSH allows me to do this. And SSH is good for port forwarding and getting around firewalls, too, occasionally. Along with SSH, I should mention SSHFS, Secure Shell File System, and the Fuse module, or Fuse package, I guess it's a Fuse kernel module, file system and user space, and the FISH protocol. I use all three of these things together, SSHFS specifically, to mount my music directory, my music server upstairs. I can mount this remotely via SSHFS anywhere in the world if I wanted to. I can mount it from any of the computers, so I have access to that music wherever I'm at. There's another way to do that, which I'll talk about shortly as well. Fuse is used along with SSHFS, and it allows you to mount locally those a file system over SSH, which is pretty cool. So if I'm using my favorite file manager, Emol FM2, I can use SSHFS to mount a file system on another computer on my network via SSHFS. And FISH is a protocol that's built into the Conqueror web browser that allows you to do the same thing. I'm not going to get into how to use FISH and Fuse and SSHFS. It's not that hard, but FISH and Conqueror allows you drag and drop access across file systems over SSHFS, which is really cool. Lots of times you can just do this stuff, and I do this stuff over the command line. Sometimes I use Emol FM2. But if I'm managing files, actually moving stuff around, like when I do a podcast and I want to archive or move the current project folder the episode folder I just worked on to another machine, it's easy to drag and drop and move media files around, specifically using FISH. Other programs that I use on a daily basis: Storm Sirene. Now, you may not have heard of this one. This is a Python script, I think, and it's another one of those programs that once you set up, you will forget about, but you will be glad it's there if you live in an area of the country similar to the one I live in. I live in an area of the country that is prone to thunderstorms and occasional tornadoes. And Storm Sirene is a program. It's just a little script that runs. You can configure it by telling it, what what county you live in, what state you live in, what counties you want to keep up with as far as weather alerts go, and Storm Siren will send you an email or a SMS message via your cell phone whenever there is a National Weather Service weather warning. I'm a bit of a weather geek, and I like having a phone call whenever there is a storm warning. I just like knowing that stuff. So Storm Siren is really cool. Let me go back to Fluxbox real quick. One thing I forgot to mention is I've been using the same Fluxbox theme probably for at least 2 years, maybe 3 years now. I found one I really like a lot, and it's called, it's hard to pronounce, Nueva Tech, and the E in Tech is the number 3-Glacier. So it's Nueva Tech-Glacier. And you can find this. If you just Google Clowner Wallpapers, you will find, I think it's at dougnet.org or something like that, but you'll find Clowner's website, and he has some Fluxbox themes there, and that is one I really like a lot. And if you'll set the alpha transparency around 145 for everything you can, menus, icon bar, stuff like that, it looks really nice. It's a black and blue theme. Like I said, if you set the transparency about 145 and you have like a blue desktop background, this thing is this sharp looking. I've not grown tired of it after 2.5 years. I like it a lot. It's beautiful. I think I was talking about Screen. Screen is sort of a console-based window manager. Most of you probably already use Screen. But Screen with SSHFS allows me to, from work or from wherever I am, simultaneously log in to all 8 of my computers remotely. And that is just cool. I don't care who you are, that's cool. If you can log into 8 computers simultaneously, that's cool. And theoretically, you could compile, you know, start a kernel compile on all 8 of them and then detach the screen and come back later. That's just like power. I like that. GKRELLM 2. I don't know. I can't remember if there's a 2 behind it or not. This program has been around a while, too. And it is a desktop system monitor. And I do not use it in a traditional sense. I put it, this is not so novel or non-traditional, but I put it in the docket in the Fluxbox slit. Most people do that if they run Fluxbox. But I don't run any of the system monitor tools that come with GKRELLM. None at all. Only thing I use it for is I use a plug-in called GorillaCam. GKRELLM Gorilla Cam. I may be spelling it wrong, but that's how it's pronounced. And it is a webcam plug-in. And it will monitor and update up to 5, you know, making air quotes, webcams. And these, I use it not to monitor webcams, but I use it to monitor images that change on a periodic basis. And you can set the poll period, the poll time, how often you want it to update these images. So I have it set, for instance, to grab the Doppler radar image from my local television station, some radar images or satellite images from National Weather Service, front map, stuff like all weather-related images, and I have this plug-in update the image, I think like every 5 minutes or something, and then you can like middle-click on it to do an automatic update. So if you like having something like that at your mouse click fingertips, that's nice. And I used to use, I forget the name of the other plug-in I used, so I won't talk about it, I forget about it, but I don't use it anymore. I've mentioned EMELFM2 and Conqueror both briefly. EMELFM2 is my favorite file manager. It is a two-paned GTK2 based file manager that is roughly based off of EMELFM, the first iteration of this, the GTK1 version of the file manager has been around a long time. EMELFM2 is GTK2 based, and it's a two-pane file manager. Think Midnight Commander, except GTK2 based, and much, much more configurable. It's really nice. It does just about everything you need. There's some things it doesn't do very well, but it's it's nice. I've been using it a long time, and for a quick and dirty moving of files around, it's nice. I like Midnight Commander too. I use it occasionally, but Emul FM2 is one of those applications that's almost always open on my desktop. Well, it is always open. And the other is Conker. Conker I use only as a web browser. I do not use it as a web browser. I use it only as a file manager, and specifically only for the Fish protocol to move files and directories across different computers on my network. And Conker is just works wonderfully for that. Vim I've mentioned also briefly. Vim, if you use Linux at all, I mean for any length of time, you're going to have to get familiar with a text editor. The first one I ever used was Emacs. I used it for a couple of years, and I used Xemacs. And but a long time ago, I don't know when it was, probably 9 or 10 years ago, I switched to VI or Vim, and haven't gone back since. It's good to know all of them. I'll be basically familiar with all of them, because you don't know where you're going to get. Vim's probably on all of them. Emacs seems to be sort of less common these days, but you know, it's Pico and Nano, but Vim is just the best. It's a wonderful program, and I'm preaching to the choir because most of you have already heard of it as well. Another program I use almost every day, well, not almost, I use at least, you know, once or twice a week, seems like, is List Garden, and I use this to edit and create RSS feeds or XML files for RSS feeds for my podcast, for the U Club podcast, for HPR, and it is a Java-based RSS feed generator, and it does it very well. I forget the guy who developed it. I forget the name of the website, and I forget some of the other applications he's done. But you can Google List Garden, and it's when I first started doing my podcast in December 2005. I'd seen XML files, but I'd never created one. And it's not something that I really wanted to do by hand. As you add episodes, it can become tedious. And List Garden was the first program I used, and it's the only one I've ever used since then. It's really nice and allows you to create RSS feeds from a number of things. I mean, you can create RSS feeds. There's a lot of options. Like I said, it's web-based, it's Java-based, it's cross-platform. It's portable. You can put this on a thumb drive. It's just really nice, and you have to use it and see it to appreciate it. But there are lots of options in here to tailor make the RSS feed to your needs or liking, and it's not just for podcast. You could turn static HTML pages into RSS feeds if you want to. Check out List Garden if you need something like that. Easy Tag is one that I use some, only because I've not taken the time to find out another way to do tagging of MP3 and OGG files. But there are lots of different ways to do this, including command line ways. Audacity is the other one that I probably couldn't live without being a podcaster. And one last one I want to talk about is MPD, the Music Player Daemon. The Music Player Daemon is a program that allows you to access music files remotely using a client. And it's also a really good desktop or local music player. What it does, I'm not going to get into the how-tos and why-tos and all that, but it runs as a daemon. You put it on your music server on a computer where all your music files are, then you create a database. And then it's going to load the database. You're going to issue a command, mpd space dash dash create db, and it's going to load the database into memory. And it takes up very little memory. This thing's very lightweight. You won't even know it's running. I mean, it may take up 1 or 2 megabytes of your memory. And then you need a client to connect to it. And there's lots of clients. There's command line clients. There's Windows-based clients. OSX-based clients. There's GTK and KDE-based clients. I use mainly MPC. It's a Music Player Daemon client for the command line, and I use Sonata, which is a desktop GTK based application. And configuring MPD, it isn't hard. It's not drop-dead simple. I mean, it seems like you always find forum posts about people that have gotten stuck, but it's not hard at all. It's more or less one configuration file, and it's in your home directory is .mpdconf, I think, or if you want to set it globally, it's in etcmpd.conf. And it's pretty easy to set up. You'll set up a port that normally runs on port 6600. You'll need to set up, tell it where your music directory is, and you'll need to tell it where to put, you know, your music directory is wherever it is, but you need to tell it also where to put the playlist directory, the database file, the log file, and the error file. And those are normally kept in your home directory in a hidden .mpd directory. And once you've got that set up, and you fire up your client, whether it's console-based or not, and you just connect to the server. You'll have to configure the client to tell it your server settings. But this is a really neat program. I like it. I use Sonata when I want to search for music. Sonata is a GNOME-based graphical front-end client for MPD. And it's really elegant, and it also plays streams. Oh, MPD will also allow you to stream your music to an ISCAST server, by the way. That's just something you configure in the config file. But mainly, I use MPC. And I have, in my Fluxbox root menu, I have some custom launchers built in there, just little bash scripts, telling MPC what to do. I can load the playlist. I can skip to the next one. I can stop it. I can go forwards, backwards, that pause, that kind of thing, all from the Fluxbox root menu. I've assigned hotkeys in the Fluxbox keys file, and I use Conky mainly for just some kind of visual clue as to what song is being played. So I keep Conky running, but really the only thing I pay attention to is what song's being played, if even that. So there, in a nutshell, is my Linux desktop. I know a desktop screenshot would have probably been easier, but I like to talk about the Linux, and I like to talk about stuff on my desktop. And desktops are labors of love, and I love my desktop, so I hope you love it too. All right. Until tomorrow's HPR, this is Dave signing off.
Addendum. Right after Dave recorded this HPR episode, he realized that he forgot to mention a couple of apps that he uses almost every day. Not wanting to leave them out, I'll mention them here. GFTP, the FTP client, and XChat, the IRC client. He was also wrong about the next HPR episode being tomorrow. It's not until Monday. That is all. Have a happy leap day.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.